All right, welcome back to the show. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. And, of course, we're making our way into the 9 o'clock hour. So that, of course, means it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by our very good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick, and as you are decked out in your black and gold today, we realize that it's Conference Championship Sunday in the NFL. Two big-time games. Of course, you can hear them both right here on ESPN Radio 760. The early game before the headliner, which is the 6:30 game, your game, the Steelers and the Ravens. The early game, the appetizer, is the NFC Championship, the Bird Bowl, between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Arizona Cardinals. And Arizona Cardinals head coach Ken Wisenhunt, which is a good friend of the program, we've had him on in the past, and he's a very good golfer, former assistant for Bill Cowher in Pittsburgh, and now the head man in Arizona, and doing a very good job. And the Cardinals had a phenomenal season. So, of course, there's the old saying that if you're a low handicap golfer, you're probably not spending enough time at work. But that really doesn't work for Ken Wisenhunt, because even though he's a low handicap golfer, he's about a two or a three, sometimes getting as low as scratch in the off season. He still obviously is doing a good job in his day job with the Arizona Cardinals as they play for the NFC Championship today. Wisenhunt grew up in Augusta, Georgia. He attended a leaderboard at the Masters as a teenager. He once teed it up with Arnold Palmer at Augusta National, where his best score is a 74. Pat, I ask you, Ken Wisenhunt, might there be a career for him on the Champions Tour once the NFL is done?
I don't think we can go that far, Russ. You know, we've seen a lot of times these guys that are scratch players and have good rounds at big-name golf courses, and then they attempt something like the Champions Tour, and it's a complete disaster. Rick Rohn's one of those kind of rare exceptions where he did get on, the former pitcher, he did get onto the Champions Tour, and I think actually made some money, but he's a rarity. I've actually had the chance to play with Ken probably 4 or 5 years ago. It's been a while. But the Steelers used to have a golf outing. They still do. They have a golf outing at Laurel Valley just before the season starts, before training camp starts in July. And there were some epic battles, from my understanding, Bill Cowher notwithstanding, because he stinks. But the rest of that staff probably the most assistance with single-digit handicaps in all of the NFL. Wisenhunt was one. Keith Butler, who's the linebacker's coach, is another. And Dick LeBeau, who's the defensive coordinator, probably the best golfer out of all of them. And there have been guys. Now, Dick's pushing 70. But there were guys that said if he really concentrated on it, you know, in his mid-40s, he could have made the Champions Tour. He's that good. You know, Wisenhunt, excellent player. You know, can definitely take some guys in the local country club for some skins money or whatever, or Nassau. But I don't think he has those aspirations. He's probably in his mid-40s right now. I'm not sure how old Ken is. But obviously, if he wanted to get things geared up for the Champions Tour, he'd have to start doing it now. And that ain't happening with the NFL career he's got in front of him.
Well, congratulations nonetheless for shooting a 74 once at Augusta, playing with the king, Arnold Palmer. That, in fact, is quite an accomplishment. And, of course, in regards to today's game, I know you like the Cardinals. I tend to think the Eagles will win that one. But, of course, wishing our good friend Ken Wisenhunt good luck today in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, I think being at home is going to help them. That's the only difference maker in that game for me. All right, number two goes to you, Russ. We just had Annika Sorenstam get married this last Saturday to Mike McGee, the former number one golfer on the LPGA Tour. Now the current number one golfer on the LPGA Tour, Lorena Ochoa, has announced that she's engaged. She just announced that she will marry 39-year-old Andres Conesa, the director general of Aeromexico Airline, one of her sponsors. And they haven't really set a date yet, but at some point this is going to happen. Congratulations to Lorena, but at the other end, is this potential bad news for the LPGA if she, like Annika, at some point says, you know what, the biological clock is ticking, I want to have some children, she is 27, and maybe I got to put the golf career on hold if I'm going to get married and have children.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. What, you know, what is Carolyn Bivens thinking about this great news? And as you mentioned, first of all, congratulations to Lorena Ochoa. Great news that she's engaged to get married. So obviously it's a great time in her life, in her personal life, that is. As in regards to her professional career, you know, I think this is a little bit different than Annika. First of all, Annika had already been married once and divorced. So this was her second marriage. She never had any kids in the first marriage. So I think Annika really heard heard the biological clock ticking. And Annika's also a decade older than Lorena. I mean, Annika's 36, 37, you know, and Lorena, of course, is 27. So there's a big age difference, and there's also a big difference in the points in their lives when they're getting married. I mean, like I said, Annika had already been divorced. This is her second marriage. I think Annika saw this as not necessarily her last chance, but her best chance to now start a family. I think Lorena is going to stick around for a lot longer period of time. The other thing you got to, well, there's a couple of factors. First of all, I don't know that Lorena has achieved as much as Annika had. So, you know, obviously she is younger. Because she's 10 years younger, she hasn't achieved that much as well in her career. So I think Lorena still has a lot of goals she wants to achieve. I don't think she's yet, and I can't, it's, you know, it's always the catch-22 trying to get into somebody's head. But I would venture to say Lorena probably is not yet thinking children. So I don't think this is necessarily bad news for the LPGA right here and now. Perhaps 5, 6, maybe 7 years down the line, Lorena might call it quits because then she'll start thinking about a family. But you never know. By then, you know, Julie Inkster competed into her, she's still competing at the age of 47, 48 with two teenage daughters, one in college. I mean, so it's possible, even if you want to have a family, just keep competing. So I would say definitely, without a doubt, for the near future, 5, 6, 7 years down the line, I think Lorena Ochoa will definitely still be the face of the LPGA Tour, even though we have this new news about her getting married.
I'm not going to per se disagree with you, Russ, but I think the Mexican culture is a little bit different. You know, she's 27. That's probably getting up there in terms of childbearing, you know, for the Mexican culture. I think, you know, it depends on how many kids she wants to have. If she wants to have one or two, that's different. She can wait, you know, probably 5 to almost 10 years before she needs to worry about it. But if she wants to have a lot of kids, which I don't have no idea how many she wants to have, but you know, that might factor into this. I don't foresee Lorena being super, super long-term on the LPGA Tour. I just don't. I think she wants to get involved with kids stuff. She's big into charity things. I think she gives it about a 5-year run, and then I think she calls it quits around 32 or 33 to have kids, but also to do some of the charity work. I just don't get the sense that she has that burning desire like Annika did to be number one and be number one and get all these records. I could be completely wrong about that, but I do think she's committed, and I think she wants to do well. But at the same time, I think she has other interests that might take over as she gets older in terms of wanting to play golf versus those other interests. So we'll see.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. We are entrenched in our Inside the Rope segment, PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment, as we do each and every week, taking a look at a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by our good friends at PGA National Resort and Spa. Patrick, topic number 3. One of your favorites, I can't stand the guy, but you seem to like him for some reason. Curmudgeon, old curmudgeon, Colin Montgomery. Headline, the next European Ryder Cup captain will be announced later this week at a press conference in Dubai. And a development over the last couple of weeks, apparently Monty is now the odds-on favorite. Some people were thinking perhaps Ian Woosnam because he is a Welsh player and the next Ryder Cup in 2010 will be in Wales. Other people were thinking perhaps Jose Maria Olazabal. Like Olazabal, Montgomery has been intent on playing his way onto the team. But the fact that now he's 127th in the world rankings, he didn't even come close to making this past team last year in 08. So what are the chances 2 years from now that he's 2 years older of a golfer and perhaps not as good of making the team as a player? So there's no sign that he's going to recapture that form that once made him really the best player for the European side for a better part of a decade. But he is not the player he once was. He still maintains as a significant figure on tour. So even though he's not as good of a player as he was, he still competes on a regular basis, Pat. And that's good news because we saw, you know, Paul Azinger, he kind of still competed on a regular basis the last couple of years. So he was out there with the players. And that seems to be a trend that I think both teams, the American side and the European side, is going to be looking for in the near future. You saw how Nick Faldo, who's been removed from the playing side of golf for the last 5, 6 years, really, didn't seem to have a good chemistry with the players on his team. Couple of questions for you, Pat. First of all, A, would Monty be a good choice if he were the Ryder Cup captain for 2010? And then B, might Monty have perhaps hurt his chances if he's not captain this year in 2010 for 2012 as far as a Ryder Cup captain goes? Because in 2012, Monty's going to be over 50, and he just said, Montgomery said, quote, we found last time with Faldo's situation that you do lose as a captain over 50, a sense of what's happening with the youngsters, a feeling of what's going on. So if Monty isn't the guy this time around in 2010, might he have perhaps hurt his chances for any further looks as a Ryder Cup captain?
All right, I'll answer the first part first. I think, you know, as a choice, I think he'd be good. I think Monty, you know, embodies really what we hate about the European Tour. He seems to make a lot of putts at crucial times, and, you know, he kind of, you know, wills wins where they don't seem possible. So I think he would be able to impart that, you know, that sort of sense on some of these younger guys for as the European captain in 2010. So I think he would be a good choice this year. Do I think he hurt his chances? The second part of your question with these comments, if he didn't get picked this year or in 2010 for 2012, not really. I think he's just still PO'd at Faldo for not including him. So he's trying to figure out some way to give him another shot. You know, as this thing is now, we're almost 6 months removed from the Ryder Cup. But I think he would. I don't think he's hurt his chances. The one thing, I don't really think age plays a part in this, Russ. I really don't. You can't tell me if Jack Nicklaus captained our Ryder Cup, you know, the next time that wouldn't be, you know, he wouldn't have, you know, a huge advantage over who else because he's played in so many of these things and he's captained the President's Cup and all that kind of stuff. I really don't believe. I believe there's a little bit of a connection there, but for a big part of it, I think. If you're a good translator in strategy and you know how to deal with your emotions and stuff like that, then that surpasses age. You should be able to do that, you know, as long as you're semi-coherent and able to relay those thoughts. So I don't put as much stock in age as some of these other folks. Of course, there's a relatability to it, but at the same time, I still think that you know, you could captain one of these things into your 80s if you were upright.
80s?
If you were upright and still had your faculties, I think you could do it.
So Arnold Palmer for 2010 for the Americans. Although we
ain't gonna happen.
We've already chosen Corey Pavin.
Ain't gonna happen. But I think Monty could do it in 2 years, and I think he could do it in 4 years just as easily.
Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf.
All right, Russ, last one goes to you. I don't know if you've heard about this, but Hank Haney and Charles Barkley had a Golf Channel reality show going on, and they taped about 5 of 8 episodes, and then Charles got his DUI last month, and that, of course, has put everything on hold. My question to you is, are you bummed that this reality show may not come to fruition?
Absolutely, I'm bummed. After having to suffer through the last 10 or 11 you know, incarnations of Big Break and all that crappy reality television, Golf Channel finally had a really, really interesting idea. Have Hank Haney try to fix perhaps the ugliest swing in the golf world, which is Charles Barkley. And Charles Barkley himself, I mean, even if they were just going to follow him around for a couple of weeks and you know, follow him going into McDonald's or whatever he does, you know, during his life, it would be interesting. So injecting this other, you know, wrinkle into it with Hank Haney and doing the swing instruction, I mean, this was going to be a phenomenal reality series, but now it's on hold, unfortunately. And obviously the biggest point here is we're hoping Charles Barkley, you know, is okay and gets himself right. Apparently he does have an alcohol problem. A lot of his close friends say that. So we're hoping that remedies itself first and foremost. Having said that, God, please, I want this Golf Channel reality series. Now, they still got 3 more episodes to tape. I think I believe it was supposed to start playing next month in February. So with 5 episodes already in the can, I would think that they could still start showing the show in February, and then perhaps those 5 episodes would get you through the month, and hoping that you can tape the other 3, the last 3 of the series, sometime in March.
Yeah, I'm with you, Russ. Obviously, I think the bigger issue here is Charles and this drinking problem that he's got. I mean, we all know that he's got some gambling issues, and now the drinking on top of it. It's one thing when you're in your 20s or even if in your 30s almost and you're doing this. Charles is in his 40s, and he should have a sense at this point in his life of, you know, what's important and what isn't. And again, I go back to, this is the same argument I drone on and on about with these guys. If you are, you know, that are in the sports world and have the money to do this, if you know you're going to go out and drink, get a guy, for the love of God, to drive you home. Why is there that egotistical, whatever it is, that I'm in control, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to be able to drive myself. Again, mind. When you're in your 20s, you might not be able to think that straight or whatever to kind of realize the long-term ramifications of your actions. But Charles has so much going for him. This guy wants to be governor of Alabama. And I actually think he'd be a good governor because he has a way of talking and rationalizing things that a lot of people can understand. And it's a shame because he's just going to put himself out of any contention to really do some good public service by his personal actions. And I think the bigger question here is obviously that I hope he gets control of himself and doesn't become a John Daly sideshow as he gets older in life. But at the same time, I hope the reality show comes to fruition too, because I enjoy Charles. I think he's got good insights on things. I think he has a way of getting arguments down to their basic black and white issues. And it'd just be a shame if the guy throws away a lot of what could be a promising career as he gets older into his 50s and 60s because he likes to gamble and likes to drink.
Yep, definitely hoping that Charles Barkley rights the ship in his life. And you're exactly right, Pat. I think Charles Barkley, for my money, probably one of the two or three most colorful and interactive and engaging personalities on television. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Just concluding another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here on the show, discuss a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.